Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Ghosting by Edith Patou. Performed by Kate Rudd, Kate Reinders, Amy McFadden, Emily Durante, Michael Naramore, Scott Merriman, Nick Podell, Alexander Sandis, and Todd Habercorn.
Maxie. When I was a little girl, ghosting was a sheet of paper and a drawing in black ink. A crudely sketched ghost with a Tootsie Roll taped on. Not scary. A fun Halloween prank. You slipped it under a neighbor's door, ran away, giggling. You've been ghosted! Exciting. Harmless. But now ghosting is... This can't be happening. Screams like knives in your ears. Pooling, glistening blood everywhere. And death. Bellowing hot and loud in your face.
Before. Sunday, August 22. Faith. At the kitchen table, eating cereal. Puffins, my favorite. Pillowy with a soft, milky crunch. The sun glares through the window, reflecting off the stainless steel dishwasher. Even though my bare feet are cold from the air conditioning, I can tell it's hot outside already. Mom is at the sink, rinsing bottles for recycling. Polly, our big black dog who needs a haircut, lies under the table, drowsing. I stick my toes under her belly to warm them. Peaceful. Then Emma bursts in, noisy and rushed like always. Have you seen a hairband? I need a hairband right now. Everything is right now for Emma. I'm so freaking late, she says. Polly bounds up from under the table, tail wagging 100 miles an hour, panting. Mom's back tightens. Emma, you were late last night, past your curfew, she says. Not now, Mom. Emma's voice is sharp. Coach is going to kill me. She grabs a protein bar, her water bottle, and she's gone with a flash of dark red ponytail. Polly circles the table a few times, then settles back underneath, at my feet, with a gentle, disappointed sigh. Mom turns on the faucet again, picks up a Gatorade bottle, only now her shoulders are slumped, tired-looking. Is Emma going to be grounded? I ask. Your dad and I are going to talk to her. Which means no. Dad is soft on Emma. Well, we all are, because we love her so much, but especially Dad. Mom worries about it. I've heard them argue. I spoon a puffin into my mouth. The crunch is gone. Polly sighs against my feet. I swallow the soggy puffin past the lump in my throat.
Maxie. It wasn't hot like this in Colorado, even though we were a mile closer to the sun. I forgot about Midwest heat, like a steamy, wet, hot washcloth pressed against your mouth and nose. And the air conditioner is busted. Maxine, Mom says. She's the only person who calls me that. I'm going stark raving crazy in this heat. The making Mom crazy list is long. And number one, at the tip top of the list is my dad. His chewing too loud, his interrupting when she's on the phone, his beer drinking, I could go on. But most crazy-making of all, the fact that he dragged us out to Colorado for 4 years for this fabulous job opportunity that turned out to be a bust. A big bust. So here we are, back in the house where I grew up. The house that was never sold for 4 years, which also drove my mom nuts. Of course, now it's a nightmare turned blessing in disguise. My mom is Little Miss Busy getting the house fixed up, enrolling in nursing classes to update her skills. Someone's got to have a steady income, she says. And she says it with all kinds of righteousness, not meaning to hurt, but wounding just the same. My dad is still recognizable as my dad, just a flat, joyless version. Like a light has gone out. Except when he's drinking his beers. Then he gets jolly and sweet, which almost makes me look forward to that pop squelch of the flip top on the Miller can. Almost.
Wednesday, August 25. Anil. 1. Wednesday morning, 7:30 a.m. I am alone in the house, eating leftover lentils and rice heated in the microwave. I stand over the sink, looking out the window at the back lawn, perfectly mowed and trimmed by my father last night before dinner. 2. Father, Dr. Sanjeev Sayanantham, who left for Highland Park Hospital at 5 this morning, who is named by U.S. News & World Report as one of the top 10 best hand surgeons in the country. Dr. Sayanantham, famous not only for his skill in the operating room, but also for his charisma. Not stiff like a lot of Indian physicians, and you'd never know he was born in Calcutta, the way he smoothed out his accent. 3. Mother. Dr. Rahel Sayanantham, who also left early this morning for her thriving practice as a pediatrician. This Dr. Sayanantham does have a wisp of an accent, even though she is only half Indian. Her father was a handsome white dentist who married Grandmother Ruma against the wishes of her family. Mom lived in Mumbai until she came to the U.S. for medical school, where she met my dad. According to family lore, he was swept away from the very moment he saw her. Black-eyed, black-haired beauty with a gentle voice. Small, too, like a strong gust of wind could blow her away. 4. Brother, Viraj Sayanantham. Born when my mother was doing her residency at the University of Michigan. Viraj hasn't lived at home for 6 years and is himself a neurology resident at Mass General in Boston. Viraj is the golden son who prefers Christmas to Diwali, cheeseburgers to lentils and rice. He will be Dr. Sayanantham number 3. 5. Me, son number 2, expected to be Dr. Sayanantham number 4. And even though, yes, science and math come easy, I love words, too. And I don't know if I wish to follow in the footsteps of my cheeseburger-loving brother. The end result? These simple but puzzling equations. A is less than or equal to B, or A is greater than or equal to B, or A does not equal B. A being what is expected of me, B being where my heart lies, X being an unknown quantity, utilized to figure out the intersection between them, assuming I ever find out what B actually is.
Emma, I down a tall glass of cran apple with crushed ice too fast, but I can't help it. It tastes so good, cold and tart, filling what feels like a bottomless thirst. I am exhilarated, wrung out, but keyed up from an amazing practice. I love that feeling after I've pushed my body to its limit. It's nice to have the kitchen to myself. No nagging from Mom, no questions from Faith. Sweet Faith, who watches me like a hawk, which can get annoying sometimes, like she's memorizing me. I like the quiet, but I miss Polly banging her tail against my sweaty legs, drooling and panting love all over me. Mom and Faith must have taken her with them on their last week before school starts errands. It's Faith's first year at the high school, and even though quiet is her style, I can tell Faith is pumped. I don't remember feeling like that, except for maybe the first time I went to soccer camp. It was the summer before eighth grade. I remember making out with the cute blonde assistant coach. A total rush, until he got clingy toward the end, which was awkward. But high school? No. I'm so done with high school. Can't wait to play soccer at Penn. I wish I could wave a wand and whoosh away the next 9 months. My cell buzzes with a text from Brendan. Damn, I still haven't told him about Saturday night. About how we have to drag Maxie Kalman along with us. Thanks to my mom. Saw Mrs. Kalman in the grocery store, Mom said. Poor thing, she looked miserable. I told her you'd include Maxie in your plans this weekend. She was so grateful. Maybe I'll see if I can get Felix to join us, for old time's sake. Brendan doesn't mind Felix. Who could mind Felix? Not the winner he used to be, but still a good kid. Maxie and I and Felix were tight back when we were kids. Lemonade stands, kickball, the whole bit. But that was a long time ago. I hope she isn't too weird now. She always was the artistic type. Whatever. As long as she doesn't ruin Saturday night.
Chloe. I am not. My mom is big into personal inventories. Back when Dad dumped her, and right before she became a realtor, she stocked up on all these self-help books, and they all told her to make a list of who she is and who she hopes to be. She's always trying to get me to do them, but I always refuse. They remind me of those I Am poems we did back in fifth grade. I am cheerful and tan. I wonder if I will ever finish this poem. I hear the sound of one hand clapping. I see rainbows and unicorns. I want a boyfriend and a new smartphone. I am cheerful and tan. Okay, I don't think that's really what I wrote in fifth grade, but close. So here's my up-to-date, honest, anti-personal inventory. What I'm not: a cheerleader, a soccer player or a jock of any kind, an art nerd, a math and science nerd, a Christian nerd, a drama geek, a Harry Potter freak. Oh, and I'm not smart, quick with a comeback, careful. What I am: a klutz, pretty, cheerful, or at least decent at faking it. What I am good at: babysitting, picking out clothes, makeup, blow drying, showering and exfoliating, cleaning my room, sex. What I'm not good at: just about everything else.
Maxie. Mom kept at me about Emma, to call her just as soon as we moved back. You two were best friends, Mom said. That was a long time ago, I answered. I kept putting it off. It's not like we stayed in touch while I was gone. She's the one who faded away, stopped writing, stopped calling. She's probably too busy with soccer, Mom would say. Yeah, right. But I understood. Life goes on. It's not like we can just pick up where we left off. But to get Mom off my back, I sent Emma an email. A few days later, geez, sorry, I just saw this. Never look at email. What's your cell? I'll text. Smiley face. But she didn't. Then my mom ran into her mom at the grocery store. After that, Emma texted me. Sorry, crazy busy. Free Saturday night? Can't wait to see you. Yeah, right.